If you will remember, last time we were studying the eight signs in John's Gospel. Before time ran out, we only got halfway through those signs. There's eight of them. So today we're going to continue with the last four that we did not do last time. The signs, if you will remember, are not parables, but were there that Israel and the world might believe on him. The signs are miracles, but they are not so much to demonstrate his power as they are to manifest Israel's need and their condition of helplessness and death. And with Messiah's glory and his ability to meet the needs of Israel and to restore them to their lost condition. Last time we studied the marriage in Cana and the draught of fishes, comparing those two together. These two, if you will remember, were to show the nation's need. They had no wine at the marriage and no meat or no fish were they catching in the draught of fishes. So they had no wine and no meat. And that as a result, he, the Messiah, could supply all their needs. That was the reason for those signs and those parables. Then we looked next, and we're looking at it by the structures. We're looking at the ruler's son that was sick unto death, and the sister's brother who was Lazarus, who actually did die and was dead. And in these two, we found Israel at its lowest ebb, sick, dead, nothing to eat, no meat, no wine. But the Lord was more than capable in each case to fulfill the needs that existed. Here then is Israel today. Their true national preeminence has been cut down at the root. The olive tree is described as being cut off. The olive tree is a symbol of Israel's national preeminence over other nations. But they, like Lazarus and the lad in the parables that we saw, in the signs that we saw, not the parables that we saw, in the signs that we saw, the nations is sick, dead, waiting on the Lord's voice for life and spiritual and physical healing. So today we begin with sign number 3 and number 6, showing Israel's spiritual infirmities and blindness. And we are working through these eight signs by the structure. You can see there that those are in introversion. If you'll notice, A, the marriage in Cana, where they had no wine, is in comparison with A at the bottom, the drought of fishes, where they had no meat. And then we saw B, the ruler's son, after 2 days, he was at the point of death, he was sick. And then B, at the bottom, the sister's brother, 2 days, Lazarus, he's in fact dead. They're showing Israel's infirmities as being sick and dead. And then the third, the impotent man, and the pool of Bethesda, and see the man born blind from birth, and that's what we're looking at today. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, and the two that we're looking at here will be see the impotent man, and the man born blind, and they are significant of the nation of Israel's spiritual infirmity and their blindness. You cannot ever forget that most of the scripture is about this nation, Israel. And so often we try to take these things and apply them to ourselves and to today, and it just fact does not work. These things are about the nation and their need for a Messiah and their rejection of such before it was all offered to us in salvation to the Gentiles. I forgot about that. I was thinking it was only Tony that didn't have a copy. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you guys out. So we will begin with John chapter 5. And there's quite a bit here to go through, but we'll struggle through and read it. John chapter 5, verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. It's important to realize that that particular verse is not in a lot of the copies. And you can read a little bit more about it in the companion Bible to the right. To clear it up, you need in verse 4, for it is, you might insert in a parentheses in verse 4, for it is said an angel went down. So there's some confusion as to where these verses actually came from. I just point that out. I don't know if this was exactly the way it was or not. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, Is it the Sabbath day? Is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed? And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And then they ask him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that same place. And afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things, and himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live, they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which be witnesseth of me is true. He sent me unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. For I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? It's speaking there, of course, of the spiritual infirmities of Israel, not believing. Now the comparison is this other sign, which is in chapter 9. And the man born blind. Chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath the man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he that spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said unto him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I know not." And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." And others said, "How can a man that is a sinner of such miracles?" And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." And then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" And he answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" Then they railed him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God speaketh unto Moses; as for his fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began, was it not that any opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. And Jesus answered that they had cast him out, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." That's a lot of reading, I understand. But it's interesting when you compare these two different situations. the man 38 years and blind from birth. And it's interesting to know that only sin is mentioned in these two miracles that we're looking at. And they both occur on the Sabbath. But they're both reminiscent of Israel's long-standing infirmities and blindness. One from birth, the other 38 years. It's also interesting to note that the man helpless for 38 years is the exact time that the Israelis wandered in the wilderness, 38 years. There in the wilderness they were shut out, cut off, blind, helpless, and without Jehovah when they were wandering in the wilderness because of their unbelief. The man born blind echoes and completes the impotent man's healing. And you got to realize that some of this, of course, is after rejection and after the cross. Some of this is yet future for the nation as a whole. These are just signs that were given to them of what is those things that are to come. The millennium is the time and the place when some of this will actually take place for the nation of Israel. They will be gathered. They shall hear his voice in the grave. Finally, they shall be healed. Their blindness will give way to sight. The marriage feast will be set. New wine tasted in the Father's kingdom, the bondage of Satan and his angels, and afterwards a new creation where there's no more sin. That's what these two different ones are about. Now, the two middle ones there, marked D on the chart, and D, they're in the same chapter. They're back to back. It's the feeding of the 5,000 and Christ when he walks on the water. And these are reminiscent of the way in which Israel will be restored. So turn back to John chapter 6. When the signs that we have looked at have been indicative of Israel's condition. Sick, without substance, no meat, no drink, half dead, so forth. But the fourth and the fifth ones here shows their need for Messiah himself to correct all these conditions. This is how the other signs, what we're going to see in these two is how the other signs are accomplished. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. You see, they were traipsing after him because of the things that he was doing physically to heal folks. 5,000 were chasing after him. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise to the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Where can you buy bread? He asked. There was no market. They didn't have enough money. The sharing wouldn't work. And you're going to see that same thing in the future. The UN won't be able to fill the need. The U.S. or the European Union, they will have to eventually rely on him whom they crucified. And then an interesting thing in verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into the mountain himself. If he came to be king and they were going to make him king, why did he get out of there? Why didn't he just let them make him king? It's the same situation as it was with Sarah and Abraham, mixing the flesh with the spirit. Rather than accepting and believing who he was and allowing God in his own time to do what was necessary, they tried to make him king for the wrong motives. They wanted to make him king because of what he could do, rather than making him king believing who he was. It's what I call foxhole mentality. You have a lot of atheists and they get into a foxhole and immediately they have a need and they call on God, not because they have believed, but because of what he might could do for them in the moment. And that was the situation here. They wanted to make him king for what he could do, not for who he was, and believing. Let's go on to the fifth sign. Now, these are back to back. Verse 19 to 21. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20, well, let's back up. Verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and he entered into a ship. And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship. And they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. And then they willingly received him in the ship. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. They were afraid. And he said unto them, I. It is I, which is really in the Greek, I am. And they finally got the point after all this time. It is he who is the great I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true and living way. I am the vine. They were afraid, willingly received him, and immediately they were out of their destination. finally, they see him not only as Jesus, but they see him as the Son of God, the Sent One, my Lord and my God, the Bread of Life, the Resurrection and the Life, Messiah and King of Israel, Christ. Each of the signs contributed some of their knowledge and understanding when who Jesus was. And so Israel's condition in the two Advents is like this. In the first Advent, A and A, no wine, no meat, sick, at the point of death, wandering and blind, dead physically, spiritually, no bread. But in the second Advent, when Christ returns, and here we see this in D and D, which we just looked at, things will be different. Their sight will be restored. They will see him as I am. It is the Lord. The dead will be raised. The marriage feast with nothing lacking. Everything will be theirs. The kingdom will be established. Finally, the earthly kingdom that's been promised all through the Old Testament and up through the Acts period. The kingdom which the nation of Israel had wanted. That's all the nation ever wanted. The nation of Israel didn't want to go to heaven. They didn't know anything about heaven. All they wanted was the land, which they still want, and a king like the nations round about. But of course, they were so blind and so spiritually deprived and so ignorant of their own scripture, with all of the indications of who he would be, they missed it, and they crucified him, their own Messiah and their own king. But in the future, things will change, and they will see him as those things which I described, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of their selves being sheep, the good shepherd, all of those things. They will finally wake up, and it comes to them through belief. The reason they couldn't see him is, one, they didn't know their scripture, and two, they just didn't believe. But eventually the nation of Israel, and I don't know how many there's going to be a remnant left, and one day that remnant will come into a position of belief, and when they do, these things happen and the kingdom is established after some 4,000 years or more, 6,000 years. I've just covered the surface, just pointed out, you know, basically what the outline is about these eight signs. I would encourage you to go back and spend some time, read them on your own, and gain some additional information, because it's quite remarkable as to what's been revealed here with regard to the future and how they, in fact, missed their own Messiah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and again, we're grateful for this magnificent record that you have left us, whereby we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, where we can understand what is your purpose and plan for the nation of Israel, for the kingdom, the earthly kingdom that is to come, and then again for our own purpose and calling, which is heavenly, where Christ will one day appear with the church. We're grateful for the salvation that we have through you, your Son, Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.